As you can see by your Sunday talk that hopefully you received as you came in this morning, that the outline there on page 3 is entitled, God is Able. One of the things that I fall into the trap of from time to time is thinking that God is only as big as I am, that I think God should see things the way I see things, that God should be able to do what I can do, etc., etc. But of course, to think that way is to make God very, very small indeed. And I believe if we would do a second thought on that and think that through a little more, we really don't want God that small at all, and we're glad that we're not God. And that truly God knows better than we do, and that God has more power than we have. He has more wisdom than what he has, and we're glad that he is in control. And so today I want to talk to you about how God is able. What we're going to do is take a look at various passages in the New Testament that says that very thing. And I want to encourage you by strengthening your faith in God. We can look out in our world today and see all of the heartache and all of the trouble. We can see all the problems that face our society and people all over the globe. And just sometimes sit back and wonder, where is God in all of this? Is he truly still in charge? Is he still running the show? Is he blessing? And of course, the answer is an abundant yes, he is. But you see, that's where our leap of faith comes in, or maybe just our step of faith, in that while we may not understand exactly why God allows what he allows and does what he does and doesn't do what he doesn't do, just is confirmation that we're not God. But the scripture says that God is able. And no matter what befalls us in life, no matter how wonderful and how blessed or how tragic and how unfortunate, God is still able to handle the situation and to bless us accordingly. Truly, we never know what God can do through us if we only attempt what we can do for ourselves. Again, if we just attempt things in life that we know that we can do, then we're only trusting in our own strength. I'm here to say that God is able, and it's time to expand our vision of what God can do in our lives so that we'll be able to do more and go farther and to have a greater life even than what he's blessed us with thus far. You can remember, those of you that have been through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that on several occasions, Jesus would chide the disciples and even his apostles, and he'd say, "Oh, you of little faith." And in most cases, if not every case in which he said that, he was chiding them because their vision of God was too small. Their vision of God was way too limited in what they should understand that God was able to do and could do for their lives. Can I say realistically to you, this, in all love, of course, O ye of little faith. I think I can do that for me. At times I wonder why God, again, he does do what he seems to do. And because it doesn't make sense in my mind, I think, well, maybe God doesn't care and maybe God's not able. And then all of a sudden I stop that line of thinking and say, oh, yes, there's nothing that's impossible for God. I hope you want to follow along in the sermon outline there in your Sunday talk as we take a look and see this morning how God is able. Notice in the verse that Tom read for us a moment ago, that are out of Ephesians 3 and verse 20, where the scripture says, "Now to him who is able." Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times, the fact is, I've got this verse memorized, but I skip over that part. I'm just ready to get beyond the exceedingly abundantly all that we could ask or think part, you know. And that's a good part, too, because I can think about a lot, and I can dream real big, and yet my God is able to exceedingly abundantly, beyond all that I ask or think, do what's in my best interest. And why is that true? Because of the first part of the verse. He is able. Now, I'm not always able. I'm not always able to see beyond my nose, but God is able, and he can do what is necessary to all things, and let's remember that. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "Whoever speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, and he who serves with the strength that God supplies, so that in all things he might be glorified in the church forever now and to all generations. Amen and amen." Notice there within that particular text, whether you speak or whether you serve, God supplies the strength. God is the one who supplies the energy and the details needed to get the job done. He says, whoever speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. God has told me exactly what I need to say. Here it is in his book. I don't have to worry about what to say or what to think or what to believe. God has laid it out there. And so truly, if I'm going to share my faith, if I'm going to teach others, if I'm going to encourage the lost to become Christians, I need to speak not as I speak or as I think, but as God speaks. Speak as the oracles of God. But the verse also goes on and says, whoever serves, let him do so with the strength that God supplies. It's not about me. It's not about what I think I can't do. It's about what God can do through me. It's about what God can do through you. And so many times we only take on those projects that we can do because we're only looking at our own strength, as I've just mentioned. May I encourage you as we expand our vision of God and reinforce that fact that God is able to realize it's okay to take a task and take a job that's beyond you. Beyond your ability, beyond your strength, beyond your expertise. Because if God wants you to do that, He will provide the strength for you to do that. That's God's obligation, you see. God will never ask you to do anything that you're not capable of doing. And if you're capable of doing it then, or if He asks you to do that, then He is obligated to give you the strength to get it done. That's the testimony of this verse. And the reason is that God is able. If you take anything away from the lesson today, I hope that's what you take away, that we serve a God who is able to do all things. All right, number one there, if you want to fill in some of these blanks as we go down through the remainder of the outline. The first thing that we're going to see here out of Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 is that God is able to save us eternally. God is able to save us eternally. Death, of course, is part of living. And today our hearts are heavy because of the loss of our sister and of the family member for the Cashes and others that have gone, such as Brother Harold. And from the earthly side, that's difficult. Very, very difficult. But I'm here to tell you, brethren, that we serve a God who is able to save His children eternally. We have a God who's greater than death. We have a God who's greater than whatever this life can dish out, whether it be disease or fortune or misfortune or whatever it might be. God is able to save us eternally. Never forget that. Sometimes we wonder about life and is it worth living and should I really hang in there and should I try to be faithful and put up with everything I've got to put up with? And the answer is an overwhelming yes, because we serve a God who's able. We may not be able to be able. We may have our shortcomings. We may not be able to see past our nose. But God can. And He's able to bless as He sees fit. And He will do just that. In Jude, verse 24, Jude writes, "Now to Him who is able." You know, it's just amazing. One of the things you could do if you've got a Bible on your computer or maybe you've got a concordance at home is go look up that word able. Yeah, and trace down every occurrence and find especially the ones where it says God is able or Jesus is able. What an exciting, what a thrilling lesson that'll be. And I'll get you started with a few of them here this morning. Jude says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy." I don't know about you, but I stumble. I don't know about you, but there are times in life where I look back and I think, who am I to stand in God's presence? Blameless? No way. I mess up and leave things undone. That's not me. And when I think about all of the shortcomings and the stumblings and all that stuff, I'm sure not joyful. But you see, when I think that way, I'm only looking at myself. Jude says that I serve and you serve a God who is able. A God who is able to keep you from stumbling. A God who is able to make you stand in the presence of His glory and stand blameless and with great joy. Oh, what a God we serve. And to those that have gone on before us who have died in Christ, that's exactly what they're doing. They're not stumbling anymore. They're standing with great joy, blameless, in the very presence of the one who is able to save them eternally. Now we go back to Hebrews 7:25 that I mentioned just a moment ago. It says, hence also, he is able. I don't know about you, but I just can't get enough of that. In a world that seems to be going down the tubes, in a world in which I find that every day I'm more reliant upon the grace of God, I am sure thrilled to know that this very wonderful, merciful, gracious God is able. Because a lot of times I don't feel very able. Now to him who is able to save forever. I could just stop right there. I mean, it's not saved today or tomorrow or through this life. It's to save forever. It's eternal. To him who is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You see, this able is about Jesus. That Jesus is able to save us forever. He makes intercession for us, and he wants us to be in heaven with God. He is able. So the next time you get down on yourself, think about God. Think about the one who is able to do all things. You know, part and parcel of that is the idea that I bring up here out of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. For the Lord is not slow, as some men count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all have everlasting life. Sometimes I think God is slow. I think, God, why don't you cause this to pass? Well, you know this is a good thing. Why doesn't it happen? And so on and so forth. But I should never count the patience of God as him being slow. But rather, he's the one who is perfectly able to cause it all to happen. Don't ever get frustrated with God. He's not on our timetable. We're on his. And truly, don't count slowness or slackness as something that would be that God is deficient. God is able. But he's wishing that none should perish, but all come to eternal life. And so by his patience, we have another day. By his being able to save us eternally, he gives us the blessings that we need to carry on and do what he wants done on this earth. And so the first thing to remember is God is able to save us eternally. Number two, God is able to help those who are being tempted. God is able to help those who are being tempted. We're tempted every day. Temptation is a problem. I wish we didn't have it. But we do. And we're going to have it as long as we're alive. But it's all right. Because God is able to help those who are being tempted. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. For he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered and is able. I'm sorry, I just got to pause there. Because I think here about Jesus and his wonderful life and all that he did, and as the Hebrew writer talks about him, he says that Jesus was tempted in every way as we, and he has suffered, and he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. You're not alone. You don't have to fight this battle by yourself. There's some help out there. That truly the Godhead in the form of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are able. Yeah, hey, there that is again. Are able to help you when you are tempted. You know the passage very well over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. Let no one who stands firm, let me back up. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands firm take heed lest he fall. For no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But God is faithful. And with the temptation will provide a way of escape with it that you might be able to endure it. There's my able God. That every time the devil wants to throw some temptation out there, that every time the devil wants to try to get me to sin, God is right there. He is faithful. He can always be relied on. You know, if God wasn't faithful, every now and then the devil might throw a temptation out there that I would succumb to because I didn't have another choice. But then what the text says, my able God always provides the way of escape. And so that with every temptation that comes along, my faithful God, who is able, provides that way of escape that we can stand up under it. there's help out there, and God wants to give it and does give it for sure. God is able to help those who are enduring great difficulties. You want to have a story that will send chills down my spine, ought to send chills down your spine. You know, it's good old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego way back there in the book of Daniel. And when they came up in front of old Nebuchadnezzar, and you know, and he said, "You better bow down, or I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace." They said, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us." Wow. They put their trust not in themselves. They put it in God, who is able to deliver us. They knew that's exactly the way God was. Paul had his thorn in the flesh. The apostles had their problems and their difficulties and their trials, but they served a God who they knew was bigger than all of that. They served a God who was more powerful than all of that. They served a God who was able to rescue them from all of that. God is able to save us eternally. God able to come to help when we are being tempted. Number three, God is able to give us all things. God is able to give us all things. I want to go back to an Old Testament story ever so briefly out of 2 Chronicles, where Amaziah was thinking about going to battle. And he was talking to God's prophet within that particular situation. And he says, "Well, we've got all this and we got all that." And they were numbering all of the weapons and all of the soldiers and all of the shields and swords. And he's thinking, "Yeah, I got all this stuff. I hope I'm ready to go to battle." And the man of God turns to him and said, "Oh, the Lord can give you a whole lot more than this." Isn't that amazing? I mean, so many times again, here's this mentality that we think God's only limited by what we can do for ourselves. And they're talking about all the things that the army had, and they said, "No, wait a minute, you get God behind you, he's going to give you more than this. He'll give you victory. You will overcome." We have a God who's able to give us all things for sure. I hope that we will develop an abundance mentality with God. That's right, an abundance mentality, because that's exactly how God gives. He meets all of our needs through Christ Jesus there, Philippians 4 and verse 19. That truly he has the abundance that he can give us far beyond, again, all that we ask or think. Back to Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Truly, the power to do what is right is always found in God, because he's able to give us all things. Next, God is able to transform our lives. God is able to transform our lives. Change is tough. I have a tough time changing. Do you? Yeah. We just seem to want to say yes to God and no to Satan, but there's a few temptations out there that just seem to snare us every time. And we look back over life, and I said, you know, we're probably growing more than we think, but we know that, yes, I need to work on this, and I need to work on that, and sometimes we get frustrated with ourselves, but I'm here to tell you that we serve a God who can transform our lives. That with his power and relying on what he can do, we can make it. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, Paul says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, as from the Lord, the Spirit." Every day we should be growing and transforming just a little bit more. Every day it says here that we are moving from being fleshly and carnal to something else. That we're moving in the way we ought to be, in a spiritual way. Being transformed. You know, sometimes growth is very small and very incremental. It doesn't come in big jumps, but it's still there. And that's kind of what I get out of that verse, that God's allowing us to grow again on his timetable, and he's able to make it come to pass. That truly, as we think about life and changing our life, we can do that because God is helping us to transform from glory unto what he wants us to be in the Spirit. God is able to save us eternally, to help those who are tempted, to give us all things, and help us to be transformed into his likeness. We serve a God that is able. And so as we go back then to the scripture text over there in Ephesians that was read to us, let's not read it too fast, but truly understand the power that's found therein. Now to him who is able. Yeah. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work with us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As we extend heaven's invitation, we ask you to come to the God who is able. We ask you to come to the one who can save you eternally, help you when you're tempted, help you to be transformed, and have that abundance of things that you need in life. If you're not a Christian this morning, we ask that you come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing the beautiful name of Jesus as being the Son of God, and then you can be baptized and have all your sins washed away. You'll be automatically added to his body, the church. You'll have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and know truly that you have the gift of eternal life, the hope of eternal life. As a child of God who's had doubts and misgivings, we invite you, if you're not faithful to him today, to come back. Repent of your sins, confess them, praying to God for forgiveness, because our God is able to forgive. Our God is able to put you back on that right and straight path. A song has been selected to encourage you. If you need to come, please do so now while we stand.
I'd like for us to sing all four verses and then the refrain after verse four only.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. I've waited.
Thank you for keeping it going while I couldn't. I think Jim Cash has our closing prayer. After that song, I'm going to try to lead us in How Great Thou Art. While he's coming up, it's 76.
Would you bow with me? Our Father and our God in heaven, we come before you this morning thanking you for the evening's rest that we've had, thanking you for this time together that we can give you praise, that we can gather around your table and to remember the sacrifice that you made for us, remember the love that Jesus had for us, that when he had the ability to come off the cross, he didn't. He stayed there for us. He truly was able. Father, we pray that you would be with us, that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would guide us. We pray that you would let us be in your word. Help us to have it on our lips. We thank you for the sermon that Greg brought to us this morning. Remind us just how great you are and how much you care about us. Father, we pray that you would be with this congregation as we go on and have a new minister in the pulpit. Pray that you would be with us and him. Help us to do great things for you. Forgive us of our sins, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
The first and last verses, please. God is able to save us eternally. He's able to help us through our temptations. He gives us all things, and he transforms our lives. How great thou art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill